If you're wondering what in the world brought that on, last Sunday, not this Sunday, Nate preached a great sermon this morning. Last Sunday he was preaching and I was sitting there and I was thinking about our Sunday night service and I was thinking about, I know this might be sacrilegious, but I was thinking about if I was the Lord. Boy, you'd be in trouble. I was thinking about if I was the Lord. And I was thinking about my church is going to gather again on Sunday night. I think that's very important. And I was thinking about when my church gathers again on Sunday night, should I not be worshiped? I'm thinking, if I was the Lord, I'm thinking, why would they want to gather and not verbally worship me because of who I am? I know Bible study and discipleship is extremely important. I know it is very of a necessity. But I also know that for quite a while now, Trad changed over our Sunday night service where we just had individual classes and Bible study on Sunday night. And we no longer had any music at all or worship of that nature. And I got with Nate after church last Sunday morning. And then he called Aaron up. And I told them my feelings. I felt like that was something that was missing. I felt like in my own life it was something that was missing. Not worshiping when we gather together on Sunday night. And so Nate and I, we talked to Aaron, and Aaron agreed that it would be a good thing to do, and so that's why we had worship tonight with music. Not music, well, the music from you. You sounded well. And I'm going to have to stand farther away from Aaron lest I throw him off. Amen, brother. Amen. But I seriously think about things like that. And I think about what is important to God in our own lives as individuals and as a church collectively. And so I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. And it felt good for me to worship the Lord and to sing about those things that I know are real in my life and very important to me in my life, because when I sing about the things that I know are reality, it brings joy to me. And so that's why we're going, Lord willing, we're going to do this from now on when we can. And so I pray that you enjoy it as well as a part of our Sunday night service. And we're in the book of 2 Peter. And we're in the second chapter in the book of 2 Peter. And as I told you this morning, this chapter here in 2 Peter and the book of Jude are complementary of one another, both addressing the same issues, both almost verbally saying the same thing about false prophets and false teachers. And so as we shared that together in Sunday school this morning, we'll be continuing in that tonight. And I'm just going to read the scripture beginning in chapter 2 and verse 1. Before I read it, let's pray together. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And I rejoice that you are an almighty God from everlasting to everlasting. I rejoice that when I was not mindful of you, you in your mercy and grace reached out into my dark, hate-filled life and drove me into light and showed me a beautiful Savior. And Lord, when you led me to repentance, the joy that flooded my soul was something I shall never, ever forget and will always be with me throughout the ages. So I give you praise and glory because of who you are and because of the mighty things that you do. Father, I pray tonight that as we consider your word, we might consider that which you would say to us. I pray that we might be challenged, we might be encouraged, we might be, Lord, leave and lifted as we study the Word tonight. And I pray that we might be able to discern heresy from truth, that we might be able to discern that which is real from that which is fake. And Lord, we might be able to discern in our own lives that which is really should be our priority and that which is of little circumstance. Father, guide us and lead us. Be with our sick that aren't able to be here tonight. Bless those that are watching online, especially those that are sick and hurting. And if there's someone watching tonight that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, we pray that through the working of the Holy Spirit, you might show them a beautiful Savior that died in their place, that can bring them salvation when they truly repent of their sins and place their faith and commitment in following the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Father, bless your word as we study together. Bless your servant as he tries to share. For we ask it in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. Peter writes, and he says, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. So as there was false teachers in the day of the prophets, so there will be false teachers in the days of the church age as well, and in our age today. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into dispute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Now, in verse 3, there's some words that are really important here. In verse 2, where it says many will follow their shameful ways, maybe that word shameful means the same as sensuality. Sensuality. Ways of sensuality. And then down here in verse 3, the word greed. Usually, that is the motivating factor in everything. It is greed. And we'll be talking about that later. But that is the motivation behind everything else that we see going on. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. Verse 5, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them example for what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. And so we see in the scriptures here a warning that we have concerning false teachers teaching false doctrines. And I thought about this, and I said something to Nate about it before we started tonight. But I thought about, first of all, I thought about in our own congregation, okay? I think about in our own congregation. And as I shared with you this morning, I don't see that as a danger within our church body. Because as I shared with you this morning, no one is going to teach in this church that has not been properly vetted and has not been properly gone over what they doctrinally believe before they teach. And so I don't see that as a great problem there. What I do see as a great problem is everything you're going to see, hear, and experience over social media, and everything you're going to see, hear, and experience over the media in general in our world in which we live today. Just because someone says, quote, I am a preacher, or I am a pastor, or I am a leader in this church, that does not mean that they necessarily teach or preach the absolute truth from the Word of God. And so it is very important, first of all, that we understand what is true, that we understand what is right, that we have our own theology nailed down in our own lives, that we understand who God is. We understand who we are. We understand what salvation is really all about. Because let me tell you something. In our world today, most people don't want to know the truth, because the truth will convict you. The truth will make you guilty. The truth will strip you of pride before an almighty God. The truth is the only thing that can help you, but the truth is usually the last thing that people really want to hear, is the truth. And then I thought about that. And I thought about, in my ministry, what are some things that I have seen that totally bothered me? That totally bothered me. And I went back to when I first began in the ministry itself as a pastor here at Waldo Baptist Church, graduated from Bible college and had some really very good teachers there, solid. But anyway, one of the first things that really bothered me in Southern Baptist life, or independent Baptist life for that matter, our across Baptist life, was a thing called easy believism. I found that many had fallen, I'm not talking about people that would purposely lead someone astray. I'm talking people that were very sincere. People that love the Lord. People that, quote, taught and preach the Word. Because I found that in the churches I had been around, that there was this permeated thought that just come forward in a service, repeat a prayer, sign a card, baptize you next Sunday, you're a child of God, you're a member of the church, everything's fine and dandy. And nothing could be further from the truth. I had a man tell me, I had a man who was once a deacon in the church tell me once, he said, you make it too hard to be saved. I said, I just tell people the truth. Because what I found was, there were people that filled our church roles. There were people that filled our church roles that had just come forward in a service because they maybe had been manipulated, or they were a child and did not know the difference, or for some other reason, they were told, you just repeat this prayer, ask, did you mean that prayer? Yes. Of course they're going to say yes. Of course I meant that prayer. Well, then if you meant that prayer, then you're saved. You're a child of God. Baptize you next Sunday. Here you go. Everything's fine. No mention of repentance. No mention of conviction. No mention of brokenness over your sin. You see, for a person to truly be born from above, the Holy Spirit of God has to bring them to that point. It's not just, I read a prayer, I say this, I do this, God, you have to save me. Most people don't want to know the truth. The truth is God could send every person that's ever been born, created, or put on earth to hell and be absolutely righteous and absolutely just. My salvation, I did not deserve, I could not earn, is simply a gift by a gracious God that had mercy on my awful soul and sent His own Son in His place to die in my place because He was the perfect sacrifice that when I placed my faith in Him, I did repent of my sin. I was broken over my sin because I was convicted of my sin and my lost condition. My only hope was the Lord Jesus Christ. That, my friend, is salvation. That, my friend, is how someone's life is changed. And I always tried to make it a point to tell someone. I would ask them, did you mean that prayer? And I would say, if you really meant it in your heart, take my hand. Take my hand. They say, yes. I said, well, we'll see. Because if you truly were convicted of your sin, repented of your sin, and placed your faith in Christ, your life will change. Your life will change. I really believe in all my heart. That's why we have so many people on the church rolls today that never come to church. You don't know where they are. They never show up. They never are actively involved in worship. I think Billy Graham said, I don't know what he said, 65% of people on church rolls probably aren't saved. I would say at least. It is so important that when we preach and we teach, we preach and we teach the Word as it is to people as they are. Not to make them happy, not to satisfy them, not to worry about them being upset, but tell them the truth. Because the truth is the only thing that's going to help them. And as I came into my ministry, I remember I preached at a youth church camp, and I had one of the pastors come up to me after I preached at the youth church camp, and he said, you shouldn't be preaching like that. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you make people doubt their salvation. I said, I want them to. I said, I want them to know by God's word that they're saved. I said, I want them to question their salvation. I want them to know, I want them to be able to look into the Word of God and say, I know I'm saved according to the Word of God. Not according to how I feel, not according to what somebody else told me, not according to anything else, but by the Word of God, I know I'm a child of God, I know I've been born from above, and I know that heaven will be my home. And so that was one thing I saw that has affected a lot of churches. Affected a lot of churches. It probably hasn't affected this church near as much because of several things that happened. Number one, I was one of those people that prayed that prayer in church as a junior boy and girl, and I was no more saved than a goose in a hailstorm. I know exactly what I'm talking about. Pray the prayer. I prayed the prayer. Okay, come up. If you prayed the prayer, come forward. All right, you come forward. All right, you prayed the prayer, you come forward. We'll baptize you. Baptize you, member of the church. Everything's okay. No, everything's not okay. If God, the Holy Spirit, is drawing someone to Christ, first thing's going to happen, they're going to be convicted of their sins. They're going to be broken over their sins. They're going to realize that their only hope is Christ and Christ alone. They're not going to try to negotiate with God. They're going to come to God realizing that He is a gracious, almighty, heavenly Father that has given His only Son to die in their place, that they might, when convicted of their sins, turn to Him in faith, believing, and accept Him as Lord and Savior in their life. So this was one thing I saw as I came into the ministry that I saw as a problem in a lot of churches, that this was happening. You call it easy believism, you can call it whatever. Second thing I saw was a works-based salvation. You do this, 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 and this, and then you continue to do this, and you're saved. If there's something you could do to save yourself, Jesus Christ would never have had to went to the cross. That's the first thing. Second thing is this. When you have to add anything to what Christ has already done, you've automatically said Christ's death, burial, and resurrection was not enough. And let me tell you something, my friend. If Christ's death, burial, and resurrection was not enough, there never will be enough. There never will be enough. So these are things that I saw in my ministry because, my friend, it's a very simple thing. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. You don't add anything to that. You don't take anything away from that. That's God's plan of salvation. So those are some things that I saw. Another thing that I saw in Baptist church life that really bothered me. And I don't know, y'all may want to throw me out of church after I get through. And that is, the grace of God is not a license to sin. The grace of God is not a license to sin. And I really believe with all my heart, if someone is truly born again, they will not use it as such. There are those of other denominations that say Baptists believe in once saved, always saved because of the grace of God. That allows them to go live any way they want to. But I say, God's grace is more motivation for me to live for Him than anything else in my life. It is that God would look down and save a worm and a wretch like me, giving His only Son as a substitute to die in my place on Calvary. By the grace of an almighty God, He will reach down and save my soul and change my life. If I can't come worship God because of that, if I can't attend church, if I can't live for Him, if I can't tell somebody else about Christ because of the grace of God, then nothing is ever going to motivate me to do it. So those were three things that in my ministry that I saw that really bothered me. As I saw it in different churches, in different places, and just be glad Paul Warsher's not here. He has skint a lot of churches. But I'm going to take just a moment Now, what I've talked about so far, have any of you got a question about that? Has any of you got a question about that? I either did a really good job explaining this, or I did such a terrible job, you haven't got a clue what I'm talking about. One way or the other. But I hope you understand how important it is. I hope you understand. When this church called Nate Martin here, we had, I don't even know how many, 200, Kevin? 150? How many resumes we have?
We only had 28.
Looked at 28. And finally narrowed it down to two. And either one of these two brothers would have been a great pastor, believe me. But when we met with them, we did not ask them, well, how's your day going? Well, what side do you comb your hair on? Well, how do you dress? Well, what kind of car do you drive? What kind of house you live in? It is of utmost importance that who leads this church is doctrinally sound in every way. In every way. And is willing to preach the truth as it is to people as they are without apology. Without apology. And we have a man like that. And I appreciate Nate. And I appreciate David and Caleb and Aaron and Kenny and all the staff that God has assembled here, because we're all of the same mind and heart. And that is so important. I hope I'm not rambling. I hope you understand where I'm coming from, because this is so important. It is so important. Because I've got great-grandchildren. I'm old. I've got great child. I care about who's going to teach my great-grandchildren. I care about, will somebody have guts enough to stand up and tell somebody the truth and tell them they're wrong? Because what are you going to believe? A clock that's 2 hours off or a clock that's 3 minutes off? You're going to believe a clock that's 3 minutes off. And brother, we can't be 3 minutes off when it comes to the Word of God. We have to be willing to tell people the truth even if they don't like it. Why? Because we love them. And because we love the Lord. Because we love the Lord. And I hope I'm not rambling, but we got on this thing of, yes, Brother Nate.
One thing, Jeffrey, easy to lead this on the porch based salvation. And anytime that we just reaching grace for us, it's just our confession of faith as articles to protect against all three of us.
Right. Amen.
I guess that's where we need to conserve those things.
I agree, 100%. And it is something that he emphasizes, and something that he goes over with every person before they become part of our fellowship here at Waldo Baptist Church. And I hope you understand how important that is. How important it is, because you've got children, you've got grandchildren, you've got. You're looking at the future of Waldo Baptist Church. And let me say this. I can say what I want to, because I got 2 minutes. We cannot live in the past. I hear people talking, well, we built this, we built this, we did this, we did this, we did this. That's in the past. The question is, what are we going to do now? Where do we go from here? That's the question. And when we have prayer meeting in a few minutes, there's one thing I want us to pray for tonight. I sit back there on Sunday because it's easier on my back, not because I don't like Nate's preaching, but it's easier on my back in those easy chairs back there in the back because I've had back surgery. But I look up here in the front, and what do I see? What do I see? I see what you see. I see gangs of young couples with kids and young people that are coming in. And I know in my heart that God is sending them here because they want to know the truth. They want to know what is real and what is unreal. And whatever we've done in the past, what we need to pray about is how are we going to lead, teach, and help all these young people that God is sending here to grow into Christ and to become a part of this church and follow God's will for Waldo Baptist Church so that He's glorified and our mission's carried out. That's what to me, because listen, I'm closer to heaven. Aaron's done told me. I'm closer to heaven than I was yesterday. Okay? I'm getting closer every day. Closer every day. You too, Henry Brown. We're getting closer every day. So what is important to me? It is so important to me where we go from here. Where we go from here. And a lot of where we go from here will depend on you. The core. Your prayers. Your attendance. Your teaching. Your caring. You discipling. Mainly, you setting the example. You setting the example. And I didn't even get into what I was going to teach tonight. But I pray that you understand where I'm coming from. And I pray that you understand God is doing something wonderful here. Not that He hadn't already. He has. But we don't live in the past. It's where we go from here. It's where we go from here that really matters. And we're going to go there together. Together. And so I pray that you will pray for these young couples and people that God is sending here for God to work in their life. Let me tell you something. Pray that God will give them a vision for who they can be in Christ and how Christ can work in their lives. Man, if they get a vision for that, look out. Look out. Because there is no telling what God can do. There's no telling what God can do. And we haven't even scratched the surface yet. I want you to understand that. So we don't live in the past, looking for the future, putting the past behind us, realizing we have an almighty God, thanking God that we are doctrinally sound, that our church is doctrinally sound, that we love one another, that we are a family of God, that we covenant relationship together, and looking forward for what God is going to do. Amen? Amen. And I'm going to quit because it's 13 after and he's supposed to bring others over for prayer meeting. You can cut us off there, John. Anybody got a question?